flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
That's old friend Ian Rappaport on NFL Network. Sometimes I call him Crap Sheet because his Twitter handle is Rap Sheet. And I'll be honest, I didn't really like him. We didn't really get along when he was here in New England covering the Patriots.
He used to cover the Pats?
Yeah.
For who?
For the Boston Herald.
I'll be damned. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And
a local guy.
We butted heads.
Okay. Well,
he's not a local guy. He was here. He came here for
local coverage.
Alabama or something.
An Alabama guy?
Two shorter guys getting into it.
Is he, what does being short have to do with it?
Ted's fitting right in.
That was gratuitous. I apologize.
Yeah,
it's
bullying.
You know what, Don?
It's
like
bullying.
Get a mulligan.
It's fine. But he's talking about the top of the NFL draft, and anytime I hear him or any of these national guys talk, I wonder, we talked about it yesterday, where did the information come from? Who is he servicing here?
Yes.
What boss is he servicing here?
Yes.
And is it simply his own network where they want the idea that quarterbacks could go high because that's good for draft coverage, that's good for interest?
That's part of it.
Or is it more, you know, somebody in Giants they want you to think we might go after a quarterback, or the Patriots want that? I just wonder. But I also, it flies in the face of everything we've heard now for a while. Jeff Howe on The Athletic wrote basically how disappointing the quarterback draft class is. All 6 that went in the first round last year would be ahead of everybody in this draft. Nobody would go ahead of them. Shedeur Sanders, who was actually at the East-West Shrine Bowl last night, didn't play, practiced. I don't even think he practiced this week. I think he just did interviews.
Yeah. Do you read the report that Brady's hot on him?
Yeah, I don't believe it.
You don't? Not buying it?
Okay. I don't really believe it. So my question is, how critical is that to the Patriots? Like, is this best case scenario is Cam Ward goes 1, Shedeur Sanders goes 2, and oh my God, one of the best players in the draft is going to be available at 4. Worst case scenario is Abdul Carter goes 1, Travis Hunter goes 2, and blue chippers are coming off the board fast. We don't need a quarterback. It feels that way to me.
It's interesting. What scenario do you think is better?
I want Abdul Carter. The scenario Carter is on the board is 4.
So you
please,
want,
yes, and thank
you.
You
want these quarterbacks to show out so that teams want to get up to 1 and 2 to get quarterbacks so that Abdul Carter falls to you.
And that's why I appreciate Crap Sheet in this sense, that I think he's promoting the quarterbacks. They could still go in the top 3 picks, and that will help the Patriots. We already had the quote out of Tennessee from one of their executives. I'm drawing a blank on the name, but that they're not going to pass on a generational talent. And everybody was like, is that Travis Hunter? Is that Abdul Carter? Certainly isn't the quarterbacks.
I think it's one of those two for sure.
Certainly isn't the quarterbacks. They're not generational talents. They're barely first-round talents.
What if Tennessee shocks the world and takes Ashton Jeanty?
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. They won't, but
anything that makes it potential, the potential for the Patriots to get either Travis Hunter or I really want Abdul Carter. Like, Abdul Carter to me is the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Vrabel, front seven player, pass rusher, wants to set a tone. The whole thing, they lack it. You know, you're down on Keon White. You're down on Christian Barmore.
I feel like it's a safe play. I'm just a big edge rusher high in the draft to me. Usually hit more than not.
It does feel that way. I have no research or science to prove that point.
I'm gonna do some research on this weekend.
Teddy's trends in the draft. Rushers succeed.
Watch. I'll come up with something.
I look forward to that.
Yeah, Monday.
It's also
Tuesday.
If you were building the Patriots and you say, I got a quarterback, I got a cornerback, and you're checking off the marquee positions, certainly edge rusher is next on one of the lists.
Correct.
As is franchise wide receiver and left tackle. And that's where I wonder, Will Campbell, for example, I saw Daniel Jeremiah. You don't like Will Campbell?
Not at four.
Will Campbell.
Yeah.
You really don't like Will Campbell.
I like the idea of Will Campbell, not at four.
He was, I believe, number 8 overall on Daniel Jeremiah's big board. So not mock draft or anything. He's just ranking the players 1 to 50. And he had Will Campbell at 8. And immediately, because I'm kind of with you, feels a little high maybe for him at 4. But if he's the 8th best player in the draft, like just generically, I take him at 4. Like 4 slots is not enough for me. I need a left tackle.
Right.
It's only 4 slots.
He's the best left tackle.
He's the
in
best
the draft.
Left tackle. Like, that's how I'd look at it. You can, like, you could have got him 4 spots lower. You could trade down. I'm not risking it. If I think he's a... Because if you're the 8th best player in the draft at left tackle, you're a franchise left tackle.
You should be left tackle for 10 years.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, again, I'm checking off a box.
And if that's
important.
The case, it's hard to argue with you.
Yeah.
Because I think that is such a vital, important need for this team, is left tackle.
So the other question I have is this just going to be flat out a dismal draft class for quarterbacks? We've seen these. We're due because last year is looking like everyone said. Remember when people said you can't draft Drake May because there's never going to be 3 good quarterbacks in a draft? And you're like, actually, there's 6 in this year's
Merrill
draft.
Hodge, who was like, Drake May is the kind of quarterback that'll get you fired. Whoops.
Well, he was right.
Merrill's
Drake May got fired.
That's a good point.
But I think you're due for that pendulum to swing the other way. And I know a lot of people have already started looking to next year. Manning. You know, Arch Manning could lead a list and some other names. And this year, it's Giardi brought up Jackson Dart out of Ole Miss, where he's with Lane Kiffin, and it's kind of a weird offense. And how does that translate to the NFL? Although that feels like that's becoming less and less an issue, that whole translates to the NFL. Mm-hmm. These guys are all running
college
shotgun
stuff.
Read option things and whatever.
Right.
But I just think it feels like we start here in these bad QB drafts. We start at a point where we're like, that guy's not worth it. And then they go through the process, and then they talk themselves that, well, we need a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And Brian Daboll says, I'm going to get fired if I don't get a quarterback, so get me a quarterback, right? And then all of a sudden, 2 or 3 quarterbacks go in the top 10, and we get back to it. Now, they'll regret it. Mm-hmm. They'll be the Jake Lockers and these other names over the years that you're like, wow, that guy was taken way too high. And I think that's what the Patriots need to hope for, because I think if that happens, then you get even maybe some trade value.
Well, would you rather get the best player available at 4, or would you rather trade back a few, get some more draft capital, and then
That's probably my dream.
Yeah, 7 or 8.
Hey, Tom Brady, you want Shadur Sanders, who's falling? Ooh, look at him. He's available at 4. You really like him. I'll trade with you. I'll do you a solid. You drop down to 6. You give me 2 second-round picks to move up 2 spots, and I get
that
Will Campbell at
huge.
6. And now I have 2 second-round picks.
Andy, give me that all day, every day. If you move back 2 or 3 spots and you get 2 second-rounders and you still get the number one offensive lineman off the board at 6 or 7, sign me up for that all day.
Fitzy, quick text from the 401. You're missing it on Cam Ward. He will be better than May.
That is banana town.
Is that allowed on the show?
What's that?
Blasphemy like that?
Blasphemy like that? I mean, we entertain it. We may also mock or deride it in the interim. Cam Ward, great first half in the Miami Bowl game, and then everybody was mad that he took himself out. But he was like 200 yards and 3 touchdowns. And he's like, that's all I need to do to make sure
kids.
I get the top 3 pick with that money.
Hard to blame them.
But they're making as much money almost in college as they are in the pros.
Not to finish the bowl game in the second half, though.
Right.
They're not.
Yeah, yeah.
My work here is done. I broke the record. I'm moving on.
He's hyper-athletic. I think between the two, from the Miami games and Colorado games I've watched the last couple of years, I would take Cam Ward over Shedeur Sanders.
He, to me, actually both of those guys,
tantalizing,
I think, are kind of dinks. I watch Cam Ward, and I've never spoken with him. This is observational dink meter. Like, just watching him play, he oozes dink to me. Like, he just has actions, and he gets penalties. He's very cocky. He, like, I think I saw one, he threw the deuces back at a guy while he was running out of bounds for a first down. Okay. To me, that is conduct unbecoming of a quarterback. Like, you can't be doing that. Every other position, I don't want you to do it. I can't have you do it at quarterback.
Okay, now go to my quarterback at Colorado. What's the dink factor? What's Shedeur got you thinking he's a dink about?
Stories I've heard that are just stories, and I don't know that I want to publicly share them.
Probably not.
But he also knows it.
Probably not.
Because he finished up his interview last night, sideline interview at the Shrine Bowl in Dallas at AT&T Stadium, and the interviewer, I forget your name, was like, anything else you'd like to put out there, say? And he's like, yeah, I need to clear something up. I'm not what you read about on the internet. I'm not the guy everybody says I am. You sure about that? Usually when everybody says you're something, you're that.
But doesn't some of that come also from the fact that his dad is constantly touting him, cheerleading for him? High flash, high style.
I mean, he bitched about his offensive line. You don't see Dominic Riola getting hit when he played Nebraska. That ain't cool either, Teddy.
No, you don't throw him under the bus, but you also...
You're bitching about your line. Is that cool?
That's not cool at all, brother.
Thank you. Is that dinky? Cool.
That is dinkish.
Did he tell us to make sure to get T-Mobile because he did an ad with Snoop?
No. Okay. No, but he's...
But see, that's the thing, though. He's already out doing ads with celebrities.
And I would also just also throw out there that, like, I don't know how good he is. If I thought he was...
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Let's use our favorite Fitzy, Randall Cunningham.
Okay.
But one of the more talented, or John Elway.
Not.
Then I'd say, I might have to take a risk on the dink part. But if I'm already questioning his ability, he doesn't have the strongest arm, right? And some think he maybe rode his dad's coaching and some of that, and things were manipulated in his direction, right? And he handled some weird things football-wise. Remember that deep ball where he was like, I had to get my guy a catch or something? And there's just a lot there. There's a lot of stuff sort of around him that would make me... I wouldn't draft him high.
What I'm struggling with is I've seen him at times look brilliant. Like, the first four games of last season, when his offensive line was a sieve, he's running around, he's making plays. I've seen brilliance out of his play. Not consistently. And I'm willing to factor in all the off the field stuff, because to me that's just as important as his ability on the field when it comes to that position. So I don't know as much about that, but there are qualities about him that make me very, very high on him. Ultimately, I feel like he's got ability to have a high ceiling, but for all those other reasons you mentioned, I would be nervous as well.
Top four pick seems like a lot. So I mean, like, it really
very much.
Some people have him as a second round grade.
Yeah.
But like I said earlier, Bo Nix was a second-round grade until the draft, and he went 12th overall.
And that's how I think this is going to go.
Ideal marriage, though. That was an ideal marriage.
But that's true.
The difference, too, I think some teams made decisions last year based upon this year's class saying, oh, there's not going to be quarterbacks next year. If we want one, we got to take Bo Nix. We got to take Michael Penix. And this year, it's the opposite. I think if they're on the fence, they might say,
we'll wait till next year.
Yeah, I can... If we're being honest in our little room here, we're not going to be a very good football team again. We're going to pick in the top 10 or 12 picks. We'll probably have the ability to get a quarterback next year who's better. Let's take X, you know, the D end, the pass rusher. There's a lot of defensive players that people think are really good. And I just wonder, last year it was all offense early.
Receivers and quarterbacks, for
sure. This might swing back the other way, and people just say, oh, there's a lot of good defensive players. We'll figure out the offense
later. Abdul Carters and Mason Grahams and so many cornerbacks.
Real quick, I wanted to throw into this discussion, since we're talking quarterbacks and Patriots. You brought it up off-air, Fitzy. Greg Bedard.
Yeah.
Brought up the idea of trading Joe Milton, the idea that Joe Milton could be on the trade block. He said even up to a third-round pick.
No.
His buddy
Giardi, his coworker Giardi, said, nah, fifth or a sixth round pick. I wouldn't do it. I don't think you can get the return.
Either. Nope. I wouldn't either. And can I pay off my tease from the last segment?
Yes, you can.
What quarterback has multiple Super Bowl wins? It was not on our top list.
I bet he was a backup. Jimmy Garoppolo.
Eli Manning.
Oh, yeah.
Ew.
Well, that's because he, you know.
Ew.
What?
Other than the two Super Bowl wins, he's a very average quarterback.
So that tells, I love it. Are we going to ever have the Eli Manning should be in the Hall of Fame debate?
Oh.
Well, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yes. Should he be in the Hall of Fame?
He's going in this year.
No. Should he be in the Hall of Fame?
No. Didn't he have as many touchdowns as INTs?
No. The answer is no. If he didn't even come up in our conversation of top quarterbacks,
I know, but with multiple Super Bowls.
Was it him or was it that defense?
He was part of it. Yeah. He made some throws.
Yeah, he made some throws.
That throw down the sideline to
Mario Manningham.
Holy.
Stuck to the helmet?
No.
No,
that was just to heave it up for grabs.
The one that went over Patrick Chung and Sterling Moore.
Yeah. Oh, my. Like, he made some throws.
He made some clutch throws, yeah.
617-779-7937. We see your calls hanging around to talk about our top five lists. Up next on WEEI Afternoons, we get the expanded. It's Friday, remember. It's the bottom of the 5 o'clock hour, remember. That means an expanded, extended, all week long, we got to squeeze it in, odds and ends. Fitzy's been working on this for hours, so it's going to be phenomenal. You know what else is going to be phenomenal here on WEEI Afternoons? Dan Ball's trending.